Want a tip on how to cultivate a giving attitude? Here's Skip Heitzig with a suggestion.
I'm going to recommend that today or this week, you take a walk through your house and you look around at what you own. And as you do, you go, yeah, I remember when I bought that. Got a good deal on that. I didn't get a great deal on that, but I'm glad I have it. And you just kind of look through your house at what you own. And as you do, you say this to yourself, I don't own it. I'm a steward of it. It all comes from His hand. And then you ask yourself the question, how am I being a steward of what God has entrusted with me? How am I helping people and helping others?
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Have you ever noticed that giving is seasonal? In fact, we even have a season of giving, which usually coincides with the Christmas season. During that joyous time of year, it fills our hearts with gladness to generously share with others. And then we put away that giving attitude, along with the garland and the tree decorations, until the following year. Well, as we'll discover today, Jesus believed that giving shouldn't just be a season, but a lifestyle. And we'll learn more today with Skip Heitzig on The Connection. But before we begin, Penny Rose and Lenya Heitzig have a new Bible study series that someone you know might find useful.
Hi, this is Pastor Skip. I'd like to recommend a Bible study that was designed to help women overcome worry. It's a Bible study from the book of Joshua, and it's called Live Fearlessly. It's part of the Fresh Life Bible Study Series by Penny Rose and my wife, Lenya. Here's how you can order Live Fearlessly and experience a more courageous life in Christ. Please listen to this.
Your life is not moving any slower. From sunrise to sunset, you often go from somewhere between hectic and frantic. Your calendar is full, but your spiritual tank can get empty. You need fresh life. Take 20 minutes a day and begin the new Bible study, Live Fearlessly, from Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose.
You can live fearlessly. Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose take you down the path to freedom from fear in their new Bible study series through the book of Joshua. Take just 20 minutes a day with these studies, and you'll take steps to living fearlessly.
In 20 minutes a day, a lot can happen. Or if it's wasted, nothing can happen. But if you'll take 20 minutes a day and apply them to the new Live Fearlessly Bible study by Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose, you'll begin to find a way to apply biblical principles of freedom from fear. Live Fearlessly. Available now at connectionradio.org.
This is a limited time offer, so order today from the Connection Resource Center by calling 1-800-922-1888. Or you can order online at connectionradio.org. Live Intimately and Live Fearlessly, the two books in the Fresh Life series for one low price, $25 when you order now. So make sure you take advantage of it when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or by visiting connectionradio.org. So when do you give? When the season is right or when you see a need? As we'll discover today, people who are always willing to give are also people who help others find their way into God's kingdom.
And make the connection.
As we continue our series, Living Life Against the Flow, from the Sermon on the Mount, Skip Heitzig looks at the whole area of giving today on The Connection.
Now, you can tell a lot about a person's faith by taking a tour of their checkbook. I'm not saying that you should take your person's neighbor's checkbook and start going through it, but you could certainly tell a lot about a person's values if you take a tour of where they spend their money. Jesus said it this way, where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. Martin Luther used to remark that He said there's three conversions that are necessary. The conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the wallet, the pocketbook. Now, I'm not here trying to gouge you for money or anything. Isn't it interesting that we're just going through the Bible, and as we go through the Bible, all of these topics seem to emerge, whether it's divorce, whether it's marriage, whether it's anger and forgiveness with a brother, or whether it's giving. These are just on the palate as we go through the scriptures. Here's something else. If every church member in the United States were suddenly to lose his or her job and went on welfare, and yet they were willing to tithe from the minimal amount they received from public assistance, giving in our nation's churches would immediately increase over 30%. If everyone lost their job and they gave based upon subsidy by the government, if they all were to tithe, giving in our nation's churches would be up 30%. So giving is good. It's biblical. It's evidential. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous if it's not done in the right way with the right motivation. And that's why Jesus begins by saying, verse 1, take heed. Take heed or beware. In other words, watch it in this area. So let's think about giving negatively, looking at it the wrong way. Jesus says, take heed or beware or watch out, be on the lookout, that you do not do your charitable deeds, giving of alms, before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Giving of alms was considered one of the most sacred duties of any Jewish person. It equated a person with righteousness. In fact, the very same word, giving of alms and righteousness, have the same root word. They thought that you could actually buy your way into heaven. Listen to this rabbinical saying. Almsgiving, said the rabbi, almsgiving doth deliver from death, and it purges away all sin. So you now have an interesting lifestyle whereby you can do just about anything, but as long as you're giving alms, you're purging yourself away from spiritual death. I had a guy who actually believed this. I was trying to rent a building years ago. We didn't have the money to pay for the rent. And the owner of the building said, tell you what, I'll lower my price so that you can afford whatever it is you can afford. He goes, the way I figured is this might be just what it takes to shove me over into the threshold of heaven come judgment day. So I put the pen down right there and I said, well, listen, buddy boy, that's not what's going to help you. You need a personal relationship with Christ. And I spelled out the gospel clear and plain to him and said, we're not going to do this deal until you understand that. He said, okay, well, I'll sign it anyway. But notice Jesus talks about in verse 2 the wrong operation of giving. You announce it. You sound a trumpet. The wrong motivation to be noticed or to be seen by men. And the wrong remuneration to be rewarded by people because they know you did it. Here's the principle. Giving should involve three parties: the giver, the recipient, and God. There's a fourth party that should never be involved, an audience. As much as lies in you, as far as your motivation, that fourth party, the audience, is not to be involved. You know, there was a special room in the temple 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. It was called the Chamber of the Silent. It was a great idea. They had this little room where people could give anonymously, and it was a quiet place. They could give for the needs of poor people, and poor people could come to that Chamber of the Silent so they wouldn't have to beg or be embarrassed because they needed financial help. And so they came to the Chamber of the Silent, but there were some folks who were unable to give without making noise. They wanted the fanfare. Sometimes things were read before somebody wealthy would give something. I think that Jesus' words here rules out some practices. I think it rules out public pledging. I think it rules out having a donation plaque filled with names of the givers or prizes that would be given away because somebody gave the most. That's why I have never done pledge Sundays or stewardship drives or any of this nonsense. I believe the Lord's telling me there's 10 people right now with $10,000. Hallelujah. There's enough hype in the Christian church and on Christian media. And I don't think God is into that. In fact, I heard a story about Mark Twain. He came to church one day, and the preacher went on and on and on about money, and he got irritated him so much that when they took the offering, which was at the end of the service, not only did he not put what he intended to put in the offering plate, he actually took some and went home. Now, please, I'm not advocating that you do that here. But in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul said, God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word hilaros. God loves a hilarious giver. You don't see too many hilarious givers. Think of it. Ha, 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 woo, Lord, it's all yours. Really? But God loves a hilarious giver, one who would give with joy from their heart, not to be seen by men. Verse 2, notice, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Literally, they have received payment in full. God doesn't owe you anything. Can you imagine somebody dying and going to heaven, wanting to get rewards at the Bema seat of Christ? The Bible says we will. And the guy says, Lord, you know, something's missing here. Don't you remember all the money that I gave to those Christian organizations and those charitable causes and my church every Sunday? And the Lord said, no, I have no record of it. Oh, you got to have record of it. You're God. I can prove my name's on a plaque in the back of the building. Ah, that's why you don't get a reward up here. You got yours down there. You did it so that everybody would notice how benevolent you are. You've received your reward. I think that was the motivation for Ananias and Sapphira doing what they did in the book of Acts. They pretended to give so much and they really had held some back, but they wanted their reputation to be known as the benevolent one. So when they would walk into the church, people would say, there's Ananias and Sapphira. They gave it all. God struck them dead, if you remember. It was all a show. Charles Spurgeon said, there's no reward from God for those who seek it from men. You see, giving that way only stimulates giving for the wrong reasons. It actually fuels the carnal motivation rather than the spiritual. Look at the last two verses. This is where we'll close. We've looked at giving generally, giving negatively. Now look at giving positively or the right way. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. The right hand was considered the hand of strength. Forgive me if you're left-handed today. It's just the way it was back then. Most people were right-handed. Probably most people are right-handed today. You can be left-handed. You might want to turn this around and say, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. But the point is this. Since the right hand, the arm of strength, is the arm by which you do so many normal activities in a normal day, shaking, waving, writing, let your giving be so natural, so spontaneous, just in the course of your normal life, that you don't have to make noise about it. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Jesus said, do it secretly. Kryptos is the Greek word. It means cryptically, hidden. Very natural, very spontaneous. I want to close by giving you some guidelines that I think are biblical guidelines for giving. Because I get a lot of questions about this. Well, now, should we give on the tithe on the gross or on the net? Or should we, how much do we? Let me just sort of free you up and give you what I think are biblical guidelines for it. A lot of people are asking for finances these days. A lot of them are good causes, but there are charlatans as well. And people have figured this out, how to extract funds from the body of Christ. So let me give you a few guidelines. Number one, Christians should regularly and systematically give to the work of the local church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, Paul writes, "On the first day of the week," that would be Sunday, "let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper." So for the local church to be strengthened and to build upon in a community, that's what we're called to do. Now, sometimes he's also called us to give to those in need as we see that there's an opportunity to give above and beyond that. But I've always made it my practice that the first check I cut is the check to my local church. Number two, giving is part of God's cycle of blessing. As God has blessed us, we want to be a blessing to the body of Christ or to those in need, but especially to God himself. Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, will men give to your bosom." Paul said, "He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows abundantly will reap abundantly." Guideline number three, giving is to be sacrificial. It's to be sacrificial. We give in proportion to what we have. David said something interesting. He wanted to build a temple for God. So he went to a guy's threshing floor named Ornan, and he saw that was the perfect place to build the temple. Ornan said, "David, if you want it, I'll give it to you. You don't have to pay for it. You're going to build a house for God. I'll give you the land." David said, "Oh, no, I want to pay for it because I will never give God something that doesn't cost me." That was his principle. It's got to cost me. I'm going to measure it by what it costs me. You know the story about the widow. She threw in two mites. Jesus noticed it. People were giving money in the treasury. And Jesus said, "You know, I've noticed that all of these are giving out of their abundance, but this widow has given out of her poverty. All that she has, it was a sacrifice." Number four, giving is to be personally determined rather than legalistic percentages, 10% of gross versus net. It's what you determine in your heart, 2 Corinthians 9. "So let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And number five, giving should be in response to our need, or to the need that we see in the body of Christ. The early church took up a collection for the church in Jerusalem. They found out they had a need. The mother church was suffering. People were losing their jobs. It was hard to eat in Jerusalem. It was hard for Christians to feed their families. And so the Gentile churches took up a collection. Now, I'm going to recommend that today or this week, you take a walk through your house. And you look around at what you own. And as you do, you go, "Yeah, I remember when I bought that. Got a good deal on that. I didn't get a great deal on that, but I'm glad I have it." And you just kind of look through your house at what you own. And as you do, you say this to yourself, "I don't own it. I'm a steward of it. It all comes from his hand." And then you ask yourself the question, how am I being a steward of what God has entrusted with me? How am I helping people and helping others? The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Does that describe you? Are you the kind of giver that's like this? Or like this? Somebody once said, there's three kinds of givers: the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. To get anything out of the flint, you got to hammer it. You only get chips and sparks when you do. Sponge, you got to squeeze it. And the more you squeeze it, the more water you get out of it. Squeeze, squeeze, squeeze every drop. But then there's the honeycomb that naturally flows out of its own sweetness. Three kinds. What is the right reason to give? Because we love God. Because we belong to him. Look at that last verse in that section once again. Verse 4, "that your charitable deed may be in secret," kryptos, hidden, "and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Here's the principle. If we remember, God will forget. If we forget, God will remember. Don't worry about the math, the percentages. Do it for God. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your reward." I heard about a group of minstrels in a faraway country. They were traveling around from town to town, presenting their skit, their play, to towns all over Europe. It was fall, getting closer to the winter, colder and colder outside. Wherever they would go, whether it's a tavern or a community hall, they found that the crowds were thinning out. There were fewer and fewer who were paying to watch these performers perform. They were getting road weary. And one evening before this group is to go out and play in this particular community hall, one of them noticed outside in the window it was starting to snow. And he got his troop together and he said, "I see no reason for opening tonight. Fewer and fewer people are coming. It's getting colder and colder. We're barely able to survive. We ought to just give people their money back and just not even go through with it tonight." The other guy said, "Yeah, I agree. This is horrible. I hate this." And they started complaining together. One of the older members said, "You know what? Let's go out tonight and do it one more time from our hearts. Let's give it all that we have. We owe it to them to give them our best performance. Let's put our hearts into it. After tonight, we can quit. But let's give them our last best performance." "You're right," they said. "Let's go for it." They went out. It was their best. It was perfect. It was pristine. They felt good about it, even though just a few people had gathered, not many at all, a handful. Afterwards, when people were leaving and the doors closed, that older guy in that band of minstrels came up to his fellows with a note in his hand. He was trembling. He said, "Listen to this." And he opened it up. "Thank you for a beautiful performance." And it was signed, "Your King." The king of their nation happened to be in the area and came and saw them perform that night. They almost quit, but their king came, and their king saw what a beautiful performance they did. And you know what? It's all about our king watching. We do what we do for our king in his name to be rewarded by our king.
You know, it's human nature to wonder what's in it for us when we give. But if you're following Christ, you know what's in it for you. Not only the riches of heaven, but the approval of your heavenly Father. That alone should make a lifestyle of giving more than worthwhile. That's all the time we have for today. But if you want to get a copy of today's study, I'll tell you how to do that right after this special offer for our first-time listeners.
If this was your first time to join us here on The Connection, we'd love to hear from you and thank you for joining us with a free gift. So contact us today, and in return, we'll send you a free message from Skip Heitzik called "A Firm Step and a Strong Back."
If you truly believe in his name, you will suffer for him at some point. Now, this is something, incidentally, we don't really tell young converts, do we? Kind of hide that from them. Because it's bad PR, right?
This message is absolutely free to anyone who contacts us for the first time this month. So send your letters to P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87109. Or call us at 1-800-922-1888. We look forward to hearing from you and hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity to receive a free bonus teaching from Skip Heitzik. Just call 1-800-922-1888.
Now, for a copy of today's message from Skip, just call 1-800-922-1888. We'll be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6. That includes shipping. I'd also like to tell you a little bit more about Skip Heitzik's website. Skip writes a pretty interesting blog. You can also check travels and the music he listens to and some of the books he picked out for this current series, Living Life Against the Flow. You can find it all at skipheitzik.com. That's SKIPHEITZIG. skipheitzik.com.
Check it out and then let us know what you think by calling us at 1-800-922-1888.
And make the connection.
We all know that praying is part of the Christian life, so next time we'll take a closer look at what a genuine Christian's prayer life should look like. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications.